You need more hockey news, and Locked On NHL is here to fill the gap. It's our daily podcast on everything that's happening in the league. Subscribe and listen each day for a quick look to the biggest stories and game recaps each day. Subscribe to Locked On NHL today wherever you get your podcast.
You're Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, welcome to Locked On Sharks, your home for all things Team Teal. My name is JD Young, and I will soon be joined by Shang Peng, Kyle, and Eric. But first, I had to add a little bit to the beginning of the episode. So we recorded this Sunday night. Then, of course, on Monday, the Sharks made a trade where they traded depth defenseman Christian Yaros for depth forward Nicholas Merkley, no relations to one Ryan Merkley. And of course, they also did not offer Ryan Donato a qualifying offer. They offered Gregor, and then Adrian Hill was also his offer from the Coyotes still went through. So I know they're working on contracts for Merkley as of the time I'm recording this. And I'm sure Gregor will get a vet min contract as well. And we're still waiting to hear on the Hill contract and the Martin Jones buyout situation. So hopefully by the time you hear this, we'll know a little bit more. So yeah, had to cut out a couple things out of this episode. And if you hear anything else weird, just remember we recorded that on Sunday night. So yeah, enjoy Kyle, myself, Shang, Eric, free agency rumors, all that fun stuff.
I do want to ask what you know about this New Jersey, San Jose, Timo Meier, will they, won't they? Like, is there merit, or what are we looking at? Because I think it would be shocking to have Timo Meier be traded, and I don't know if that's true, and we're just reading on the internet what's happening, and everything on the internet is true. So help us, enlighten us.
Yeah, that was an interesting, a sequence there, because when Kevin Kurz put that out on his Twitter, it sounded more speculative than anything. And one of the things that my read on things is something is like very, very close, or there's a lot of details that a writer can provide. What feeds the beast for us? It's to, we write stories, we get clicks and that sort of thing. So it would have been a story, you know, if I had something like that I felt pretty certain of, and like all the details were kind of there, and then I could say a bunch of the details, I would write a story and get people to click on it. And so that he placed it there made it seem to me more speculative. That's my opinion, by the way. That's not me asking Kevin, you know, exactly where that's from. But of course, the next couple of days the next day for Kevin Weeks, you know, he put out that tweet, look at New Jersey, San Jose, or whatever he tweeted out. Of course, Kevin Weeks has broken a lot of stuff. There's no questioning his, you know, whatever merit as an insider or whatever, right? So then you maybe put two and two together, and maybe there's something there. Just my take, though, my opinion, I would not believe it insofar as I don't think anybody likes Meyer's contract. We're not talking about Timo Meier after 2018-19 when he broke out and scored 30 goals. Obviously, his value was sky high at that moment. We're not even talking about Timo Meier after 2019-20 where he had kind of a down season. But hey, you know what? Just 1 year removed. It's two down seasons in a row. And so who really wants that contract? You've got to really believe in Timo. And not to say that there can't be somebody out there who really believes in Timo. You know, with New Jersey, obviously, the potential partnership with a Heischer, you know, that can be tempting. And so it's not out of the realm. I'm not dismissing it, but I don't think that's a contract that a lot of teams like and are going to give a good value for. And in that case, I don't see Doug Wilson making that kind of trade. You know, the one thing, if we want to pick apart details of what a potential trade could be, right? What is this team doing? The Sharks, that is. And if you believe what Doug is saying, and I know that Doug is not always going to, and for good reason, he's not always going to be straight up and honest to the media. But if you believe this team is doing the quote unquote reset and trying to win next year, why would you trade Timo Meier for the 29th pick of the first round? How does that help you win games next year? And right. I'm not saying that he's doing that, though. He's not going all broke and selling out for a Stanley Cup either. But it's got to be a trade that kind of makes sense. And so, you know, trades that you know, for example, right, like the Kevin LeBanc rumor that I originated a few months ago. Not that I originated, I heard a source, you know, and whatever, right? But I came out with a story, right? And that a hockey trade, that makes sense. So I think on the podcast, I suggested to you guys, I'm not saying that this is like a legit rumor, it's just me speculating, but like LeBanc for a Jake DeBrusk, right? You guys didn't like that deal, that's fine, but that's a hockey trade, right? So, you know, let's say like Kevin LeBanc for Tyler Bertuzzi. I don't think Detroit would do that, but that's a hockey trade. So if you're trading Timo Meier, that's fine. That's fine and well, but it's gotta be the return has to be reasonable. If Doug Wilson trades Timo Meier for the 29th pick or whatever, right, of a first round or whatever, or for picks and prospects, and he doesn't really recoup in other areas, like, you know, to replace Timo's scoring, then of course that tells you a different direction with what the Sharks are actually doing. But everything we've actually seen from the Sharks, like the trades have actually gone through, like trading a second round pick in a, you know, purportedly deep draft for Aiden Hill. That doesn't sound like a team that's rebuilding. And so anyway, that's why I have some question about that. Again, I don't think teams love Timo Meier's contract and are going to give you the value that you think he's worth. And B, you know, can you get if a team likes Timo, another team likes him and is willing to take that risk, even though it's a guy coming off two kind of down years, are they going to give you a good hockey trade? And I think those are two things that are, you know, both fairly unlikely and make it hard to trade him.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if you're trying to reset, why would you trade one of your best forwards, right? If you're so also kind of coming out of the draft. So, of course, the Sharks got Eklund. And then with their second pick, they picked Gaudreau, the goalie from the Sting. I feel like they got a steal with this one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Tim Burke actually said after the draft that he felt that if Gaudreau had played a full season with the Sting and gone on to the U18s and starred, that Gaudreau was going to be a second round pick at least. That's what he was thinking. And actually, Gaudreau kind of echoed it insofar as when we talked to him after the draft and we asked him, you know, where you picked about where you thought you were going to be picked. And even he said, actually, my agent, I thought that we picked a little higher. And so, yeah, so it sounds like he was a degree I don't want to call it a steal, you know. I mean, we're still talking about a goalie that played, you know, just five games last year. But yeah, definitely they got a little bit of value there. And it sounds like that they got the goalie that they wanted, though it is intriguing to think about, you know, them trading late into the first to go for a Wallstedt. So but anyway,
were they trying to do that?
I did hear, like I reported, that they were trying to trade back into the first, but I don't know for who. Actually, when I heard that, I believe Wallstedt had gone off the board already. I gotta look back on that. It is possible, could it, but I think though he was off the board though at that point though. What I do wonder about is who was third on their list, and that's something to, you know, I hope that we can find out years later, because Doug Wilson Jr. interestingly said that Beniers was number one on their list. That was an interesting revelation on his part. And of course he said that Eklund was number two, and I kind of pushed that post-draft, the post-day two, if you guys read the story that I put up. And I was curious, well, you know, you're not going to tell me who exactly, and I get that, but I wondered about the drop-off and from two to three. And Wilson Jr. said, and the reason why I asked that is because there were a lot of, I think Friedman put out, but, it was believed that the Sharks were willing to kind of move their number seven pick up or down. You know, they weren't, you know, set to that spot. And so, you know, you do that if you move down, obviously, because, well, let's say Beniers is gone, Seattle the two. Let's say Eklund is gone, like a lot of us thought he would be by number seven. Then, you know, do you just take your number three on your board at number seven, or do you move down? It sounds like the Sharks were flexible on that. So it makes me wonder who their number three was. Wilson Jr. said that Eklund was the best player on their board at the time. Obviously, again, Beniers was gone by then and wasn't even close. So again, I wonder who that number three was, who was not even close. And it could have been a who knows, could have been a Wallstedt. But in that case, that's a scenario where, you know, then you trade down maybe, you know, and then you think you can get him later, or, you know, Gunther or whoever. And that's, anyway, that's something to think about years from now. So
this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers and makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX, and wait for the person behind the counter to order parts on the computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. So save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years and has prices that are reliably low for every customer. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Didn't Doug Wilson Sr. after the draft say something about how they were considering Wallstedt until Eklund was still available? So I bet he was their three.
Oh, it could have been. And yeah, actually, I saw that someone posted that, but I actually didn't listen to that interview yet, so I can't say either way. And but yeah, that's very well could have been, though. It makes sense, right? And it does make sense that in that case, then if you see Wallstedt falling into Sharks, then you wonder, wow, you know, if he was indeed our number one goalie and he was third on their overall board, you know, what can you trade to get into the late first round? The problem, of course, is that they didn't have a second round pick. They don't have a second round pick next year, too, I guess. And so it would have been a difficult to trade into the late first round without those assets.
So speaking of goalies, and I think we're gonna go back to the future here a little bit, or now. Clearly, the Sharks are trying to find a second goalie to pair with Hill or some veteran goalie in some capacity. Do you think that there's a chance that if they can't find someone soon, that they just go with Martin Jones and say, like, screw it, and have Aiden Hill start a bunch and see how he does with the heavy workload, and then try the buyout after the season? Or do you think that they're going to buy Jones out no matter what and then hope they can find another goalie at some point?
Well, for the sake of my Twitter mentions, I hope they buy out Martin Jones. praise be. but anyway, so on your point, Eric, I think that because of the buyout window time, right, and the second buyout window is only triggered by arbitration case that we may or may not get, that's going to be kind of forced in terms of what they have to decide with Jones. I'm sorry, Kyle, you're
at. I was going to say, are they going to play 5D chess and not go to arb with Hill, but then settle right away just so they can get the second,
you know, buyout? Something like that could be possible. Yeah, I don't think there's anything really in the rules against something like that, you know. Yeah. And I don't think that's one of those, like, you know, these kind of against, like, if you make these little infractions, like if another team like complains about it, then you have a problem. But this is not the kind of thing I think another team would really complain about too much, though. Yeah, because it doesn't really affect, you know, a Vancouver or whoever random team you can name. So yeah, so something like that is possible. That is actually a very, very 5D chess right there. But anyway, though, the goaltending market's pretty deep. I think there's a lot of, you know, decent 1B, 1A, 1B types, not a lot of true starter types, but I don't think the Sharks are looking for that with Aiden Hill on board already. And so in that case, I don't think it's too much of a worry if you do buy out Jones and then you're stuck looking for a goalie. And yes, a lot of teams are looking for goalies too, but the market is pretty deep. And so I don't think that's too much of a, I don't think it should be a concern. But like you said, Kyle, you do make a good point that they can just, they have three possible arbitration cases. No, they could do with Noah Gregor, for example. And so, they can trigger. Maybe the NHL will look up down upon it. I don't know. But if they do everything above board, then they do have to buy Jones tomorrow or they're stuck with him. Or not buy. They need to waive him tomorrow to start the waiver process so he can be bought up by the 27th. And so the other thing you suggested, Eric, about them being, well, let's just go with Jones and see what happens. I mean, I suppose that is possible. But, you know, we've seen Jones for the last 3 years. I'm not really sure saying
my eyes can't deal with it.
I don't think that the Sharks assume anything will change, but I think they understand that if you're looking at Jones's contract, that it might just be best to hang on to it or send him through waivers, not for the purpose of a buyout, and just deal with 3 more years of a contract versus 6 more years of dealing with this contract in some capacity. Or maybe if Aiden Hill can start 60 games or something, which is an ideal long term, it starts 60 games this year, Jones plays the rest of them, and then you buy him out after this season, or maybe then it's easier to unload him to another team or something like that, like with a 2-year term left than a 3-year term. I'm just trying to think of.
Right. Well, you know, I guess it goes back to what you think the Sharks are doing. And I tend to think, and I don't know this for sure, because we've heard whispers of different things. You know, I think Elliot Friedman suggested a week ago or a couple weeks ago that, you know, they were, you know, open to, you know, kind of letting go everything and putting Tacky on picks and that sort of thing, right? Something that sounded like a rebuild. But their actual actions, though, suggest that the reset is legitimate. Mm-hmm. And so if they are trying to make the playoffs next year, then you have to buy out Jones, just insofar as
true.
You save $3.8 million immediately. And you kick a cap hit down the line that, you know, the cap hopefully will rise, et cetera, right? And so that $3.8 million, you can get a goalie, a 1A, 1B, better than Jones, and there should be money left over for, you know, help you get another center, another forward, et cetera, et cetera. And so if their goal is to make the playoffs next year, then they have to, I think that the only thing they can do is buy out Jones. Other possibilities that are out there, I do wonder if they are until the last minute trying to foist Jones off on somebody. I know that we probably talked about this before. I know Jones's negative trade value. And I always thought, and people I've talked to, we've always thought that it would take a couple first-round picks at least. There's no way the Sharks are going to pay that to get rid of Jones's contract in full. But we've seen the Arizona Coyotes, in particular, being open arms. You know,
yeah.
Come, you know, your tired, huddled masses, give us your tired, huddled contracts, you know. And they're not necessarily demanding first. They did get a first for Ekman-Larsson, but that wasn't a strict contract dump. But, you know, for Andrew Ladd, for example, it was all seconds. And that was kind of a surprise. And so I think that if Arizona, or another team is willing to take on Jones in some kind of capacity, maybe the Sharks had to eat a little bit of it, I'm not sure, but as long as it doesn't cost first to the Sharks, I think that they would be open to that. And I think Arizona is also kind of, you know, this is something that I've been told that other teams feel that Arizona is kind of undercutting them in that market of taking on contracts. Basically, they you know, Arizona's taking on contracts at kind of a bargain rate. You know, they're taking it on. They're not demanding as much compensation as other teams are demanding, and so they're kind of undercutting other teams there. And so, if Arizona is still open for business, then maybe that's what we're waiting for until tomorrow, or you know, maybe that's why the decision hasn't been made. But that's my just kind of speculation there. But yeah.
Yeah. You wonder too, like, cause I don't know what the arbitration window is too. If they try to kind of play the 5D chess move, it's like, you're also preventing yourself from spending money, you know, cause mm-hmm. that's cap money that's tied up to Jones at the moment that you could be using to try to get a third line center or another goalie and stuff like that. So speaking about third line centers, any feels? What do you think is going to be? I assume it's probably going to be. I mean, we've heard Doug Wilson say he wants to get some veteran guys in there who can kind of help the kids, and that way they're
men. He's men.
Sorry, put some that way. Yes, that way the kids don't have to take on too much. Which he's come out and said that he's probably done a little bit too much of recently. So I am expecting somebody of the age of 45 to 50 to be playing for the Sharks at third line center this year.
Didn't Danny Savard probably still got game? I think he was Doug's team.
Joe Thornton, Chicago, come so on down.
God, can you imagine?
We're not getting old. We're not going old. We're going older. So.
Older, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, some guys out there, I need to step in and dig into it more. I've been you know, looking at the draft, and so I haven't really dug too much on the centers who the Sharks might be more interested in. About a month ago, I talked to a bunch of scouts about a bunch of different mm-hmm. centers. And so you can look for that. There's a lot of interesting tidbits in there, even though a number of those guys have been signed, like Nugent Hopkins and Gaudreau and stuff like that. But I think guys like, you know, Bonino, you know, Howla, even though I know Nashville wants Howla back, I think Granlund would be perfect. But again, I think Nashville wants Granlund back, and they've obviously cleared some money out for themselves. But I think though, overall, though, I think what San Jose sounds like they're looking for, and Wilson emphasized this, is that they want somebody to take the kind of defensive zone load off of Logan Couture, because Couture really took that on heavily in the first half of the season and did okay with it early on. But, you know, maybe it kind of wore him down, injuries or whatever, too. And obviously he had a very poor second half, and he's not getting any younger. But I think that they definitely want to try to save Hurdle and Couture for more offensive kind of a zone starts and role. A perfect guy would be Dano, but he's probably going to be too expensive for what the Sharks can afford. I mean, they can actually, if they buy out Jones, they might have the cap space though to make one big splash like that. Mm-hmm. And he would be kind of the, you know, I guess that's the type that they're looking for. It can also come in trade too. I know it's been suggested that it'll probably be a free agent, and that's likely. But I know that this will cause groans from you. But you know, Chris Tierney does fit the kind of role that
I yes, bring him back,
bring him back, and have him on a podcast with you, JD. Right?
Yeah, Doug Wilson is—he's gonna win that Eric Carlson trade by just getting everybody back from
everyone
that.
Back. Right? Everyone back. But you know, it's more about the role, though. Let's not talk about production or the, you know, the analytics or that sort of thing. But a guy that can play a bit more of a defensive role, but also add some offense too. That's why I never thought Gaudreau, and I don't know this as a fact, but Gaudreau I thought would be too defensively oriented for what I think the Sharks are looking for the 3C. And so something like that could still happen. And I would say the argument for Tierney, a guy like that, is that it's actually perfect for a team that is on defense, you know, hedging its bets like the Sharks have been for the last couple of years. You know, Tierney is only signed for one more year at 3.5, cost controlled there. And so, you know, you just kind of see what you've got in him, you know. But anyway, so that's just one guy that I'll leave out there. So that's still something I got to look into a little harder, just who might be the best fits there. But
first line center, Chris Tierney.
Alex Wennberg might be an odd man out in Florida now that they traded for Reinhart, and they're going to stick with him, and they want to sign Sam Bennett again. And he had a similar defensive responsibility. He's only 26. And so that's like, I'm just concerned that if you look at the list of free agents, you go down the guys who are listed as centers and you kind of go, oh man, because most of them are old, obviously, but that's what happens when you sign free agents. And a lot of them just have pretty poor results in those roles. And so it's like, on the one hand, Gambrell didn't give you that. But on the other hand, are you just going to get someone older who's going to not give you that? And so it feels like their best path forward is to trade for someone or wait for some of these guys to be clear free agents. Yeah.
No, that's a fair point. I think with Wennberg, possible, but I think he is a little more offensively oriented. I know that, you know, maybe some of the role he might have played a little bit more of the defensive role, but I don't think he's considered a little bit perimeter. And so I'm not sure if that's who the Sharks would want, especially I think they'll want to give, I think, a heavier defensive responsibility to this guy, but that's just my guess. So I think Wennberg does have a lot of kind of the offensive upside. That's nice, but also too with Wennberg too, you hate to pay for that one kind of explosion year that he had this past season. I think his save percentage was double of what he usually does, and so you're kind of paying the ticket the sticker cost on that.
All right, guys, we want to take a quick break and talk to you guys about our friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball's in full swing, and NFL is about to kick off in a matter of weeks. Get all the latest news and odds for all your sporting needs, including baseball, NFL, UFC, and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news and sign up for bonuses and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams like your Giants prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Yeah, that's true. I was looking at guys who had similar offensive and defensive zone starts as Tierney, and Wenberg's are a little bit more skewed in the offensive direction, but I'm just trying to find, like, some of these other guys are just nowhere. Like, you're not going to get...
Whatever you can do to avoid having Chris Tierney back on the team, huh?
Yeah, you're not going to get Joe like Eriksson or anything like that. So
when was Alex... When was he born? You got to check the birth date.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, only...
September, baby.
Only Leos for me.
Well, if we get him, then if he's here, he could be your center. Dahlin on one wing, and then you Eklund makes the team, and you have your Swedish third line. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, and there's also it might be informative, Shang, too, to look at some of the centers that you wrote about last season at the trade deadline that the Sharks were maybe thinking about, or maybe even before the season started, because those are probably the same batch of guys that they'd be looking at again. If that's...
Well, Howell is a guy that they reached out on last year.
Right.
And so, yeah, again, he doesn't really quite fit the defensive profile perfectly either. But I think he's capable at it, though. And so I think that might be what you're stuck with. You know, like, you're not going to get Dano. You know, Dano is perfect.
No, of course.
You know, Dano can play the defensive role, but also, too, he's good offensively, too. But he's going to be, you know, double the price of what I think the Sharks can fit in. So how might work out because I know they were looking at him. That's something possible too, if Nashville can bring him back. So I think either way, it's not going to be someone terribly exciting, but it will be somebody who is should be a much better player than Dylan Gambrell. Much better for the role, but of course he's going to cost three to four times more expensive than Dylan Gambrell. And it's a good question: is that worth it? But
if they're trying to get back to the playoffs,
yes,
it should be. But there's always concern that they find a guy whose production belies his analytical profile, and they just end up with more of the same. But oh well, c'est la vie. So any other. I mean, things are kind of winding down now, finally. I mean, obviously, free agency starts soon, but like, we're kind of coming toward the dead period. Is there anything else that you think might kind of crop up between now and the beginning of the season, or is it just we should be on the lookout for some depth forwards and otherwise kind of quiet until the season starts again?
Well, I'm fascinated by Doug talking about a couple forwards, as he has recently, because that's not what he said in May. Well, in May, he said a 1C. So a couple forwards is interesting. So I wonder who that might be. That might even be the person that I spoke of, the trade that I mentioned that was being worked on.
It's still coming.
It's still coming. So yeah, so that's interesting, because of course also too, you need that extra cap space too for whoever that extra forward is. I do wonder too if they can find that hockey trade that I think they're looking for LeBanc or Meyer. I think it's more likely with LeBanc than Meyer, just my opinion. I feel like LeBanc is cheaper for one thing than Meyer, and also too, even though LeBanc hasn't exactly lit things up either, I think we're talking about who's been less disappointing, and I think LeBanc has been slightly less disappointing than Timo Meier, and you know, maybe a little unfair. You know, maybe Timo does have more expectations on him, so that's unfair.
For sure, yeah.
But I'm just trying to say though that I think Kevin LeBanc is probably more tradable. You're more likely to get, you know, I think Timo is right now like two quarters on a dollar. LeBanc might be three quarters on a dollar. And if someone likes him, you might get a little bit more. You know, he does have a terrific, of course, underlying stats analytical profile, so that might be helpful in moving him elsewhere. I'm not really sure where else you can move on with this roster otherwise.
That sounds like the
perfect no. I mean, the one thing I was thinking of, and I Shag and I sort of talked about it the other night, was one thing that could make sense, and you know, I I don't know who the potential forward you were talking about is, but using a Schimecker or something like that to trade for a contract for maybe a player who's slightly more impactful but is on a worse contract. And so, for example, right. like the Lightning are trying to get rid of Tyler Johnson. And so if you take his $5 million a year for 3 years and give them Schimek's 2.25 for 3 years, suddenly they have $2.75 million in cap space that they desperately need. And Tyler Johnson might still be useful on someone like the Sharks. And so that's something that I'd be looking out for too, especially if maybe they can get an asset, even if it's like a fourth round or fifth round pick for helping someone out like that.
Yeah, you know, I think that was really a good point you brought up. I hadn't thought of that, and I haven't looked hard enough at that to you know, throw out candidates for that. But yeah, the Schimmick Johnson thing you suggest is could kind of work out in that way. So yeah, no, I think that's definitely possible. I think you also mentioned Schimmick Andres Janssen.
On the Devils, right?
I'm not sure what his contract is, though. Let me look at it.
His is a little shorter, I think.
It's 2 years, 3.4. I just thought that they left him.
I think they left him unprotected, maybe. And so I was just sort of trying to find players who might not be, as exciting to their current teams.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, that's not impossible. And actually, I don't know if New Jersey would go for it because, again, you know, Schimmick's contract is really not good. But it's close enough where at least for the Sharks, it's just 1.2 more. He's making $3.4 million the next 2 years. That's Andreas Janssen. Something like that isn't out of the realm for sure.
Awesome.
All right. I think, Shang, we've taken up enough of your time. Where can the people find you if they, of course, haven't found you by now?
Shang_Pang, San Jose Hockey Now. That's where all my stuff, you can see all my stuff. And so, yeah, check it out. Got a lot of good stuff coming this week with free agency and whatnot. Gonna do deeper dives on Aiden Hill upcoming soon. Should have interesting William Eklund news. I dropped one bit today about clarifying what was going on with his contract and if he can play for the Sharks next year. And yes, he can. Yes. And yeah, so yeah. And
we shall start the manifesting.
Yes, and I'll throw this out there too, just a tidbit that this is just my feeling, but I will call it a educated guess that I think that Eklund has made it pretty clear that his first thought is to play in Sweden next year, and he said it 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He had availability 3 weeks ago, and he told all the reporters that's what he wants. Doug Jr. In the post-draft abilities alluded to something like that, where, you know, he mentioned that they talked to Eklund and Eklund told them what he wants to do. But I get the sense that the Sharks would, not that they want to brush him or whatever, but I think that they kind of want to see what they've got. And they haven't closed the door on Eklund, you know, possibly playing for the Sharks sooner than, you know, then maybe Eklund thinks he can do it, you know, not that they'll force him, but that, you know, they want to see what they've got in him. And so that means, you know, bringing him to development camp and maybe the training camp and seeing what they've got in him and seeing if maybe he can help sooner than you would assume for, you know, 18-year-old that was just drafted 7th. So I guess I'll leave it as, the Sharks are in a little bit more of a wait and see mode. Doesn't mean that they think Eklund is ready to step in. I don't think anybody is certain of that. But there's a little bit more, a suspense with it. As my guess is that he does go back to Sweden next year. And, you know, it is as most people assume. But I think that there's a little crack in the door there. So
awesome. Very excited.
Oh, right. Yes. William Eklund in teal next year. You heard it here first. Everyone. So
wearing number five. Yeah,
E5. Wearing number five. So if he doesn't show up the first game at SAP Center, you know whose door to come marching at with pitchforks and torches.
Yes.
Maybe all he's right. The deaf forward that's coming.
Yeah, that's a
William Eklund, fourth liner.
Yes. William Eklund and Jonathan Dahlin are the depth forwards that Doug Wilson's been talking about the whole time. Amazing. Incredible. Yes. I love it.
All right. We will be back tomorrow with a special guest to get a kind of a deeper look into the draft class. We'll be back on Thursday as well with kind of reactions to the first day. And like I said, we're trying to have somebody for Friday. If not, the content boys, we've never failed you before and we won't fail you ever again until we go to three shows a week starting next week. So you can find us on Twitter at Locked On Sharks, Facebook, Instagram, if that's your preferred means of social media. You can find us there at Locked On Sharks as well. You can email us at lockedonsharks@gmail.com. Kyle is allowed to check it once every quarter, and he just did it, so you probably won't see your email for about 3 months. You can find Eric at foulball15. Kyle, who died midway through the show, is at Kyle Demetrius. I'm at my fry hole, and of course, the great, the one and only Shang Peng is at Shang_Peng. Thanks, Shang, for hanging out with us, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Anytime.
NBA GOAT Chad Ford, Locked On NBA draft host Rafael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Carlos will be live this year covering the NBA draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021 brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.